Welcome to the Excel podcast. With its origins in Southwest England, you are invited to join your host, Kevin Sulwood, as he speaks with a variety of personalities, both local and national, and mostly from within the driver training industry. In the various episodes, you will hear about issues of national interest concerned with driver training, along with ideas and advice to help you, whether you are an independent instructor, a member of a franchise, or the owner of a larger driving school. Kevin also asks each guest about what they do for relaxation outside of work. Enjoy the show.
Welcome everybody to this latest edition of the Excel podcast. And I'm very pleased to have with me today somebody who actually I'm not that familiar with. Where most of the people that I've spoken to, I've actually had some dealings with before. Today, I've got somebody who is totally new to me. So I'm very pleased to welcome from Bright Coaching, Stuart Lockery. Stuart, welcome. Thank you very much for giving up your time.
It's a pleasure to be here, Kevin. Thank you for reaching out.
No, no problem. Because as I said to you just before we started recording, I did a podcast with Ollie Taylor a couple of weeks ago, and it just seems a logical tie-up, seeing as they are involved with what you're doing with Bright Coaching, which we'll come on to a bit later, because that's really the main reason why I've got you on here. What I like to do with people, first of all, especially with you, because your background is at the moment not so much a mystery to me, because I have sort of stalked you on Facebook and found out a few bits and pieces there. But just for people, just where you are, because I think if we've got any sort of budding Sherlock Holmes listening in, they'll have worked out that you're probably a little bit further north from where I am, just outside Exeter. How you've got to where you are today within the driver training industry.
Yes, I can do that, Kevin. I'll be happy to do that. So my name is Stuart Lockery and I live in Glasgow. I've been a driving instructor for about 16 years, if we count the trainee license.
Yep, same as me. Bang on.
And I own a driving school in Glasgow. I actually bought the driving school that I trained with. The gentleman who trained me to become an ADI. Retired a couple of years after I qualified. And at that time, the driving school was very small. We only had about five or six instructors.
Yeah.
And my wife and I kind of borrowed some money and bought the driving school. We've been very fortunate. We've been able to grow the business, develop it, turn it into a limited company, do all these things to the point where we now have employees. It's grown to a very good size. So that's been my main job for the past kind of 13 years, I guess you could say, since I bought the driving school. Made various attempts over the years to expand the driving school. We were actually in Milton Keynes for a while. We had Caledonian.
Oh, right.
Caledonian is the name of the driving school. So we had Caledonian Milton Keynes. We've had Caledonian St Albans. We've had Caledonian Blackpool for a while. So we've kind of tried that whole small regional driving school trying to go national thing, but it didn't work very well,
right?
For various reasons. It wasn't worth, it wasn't financially viable to carry on pursuing that. I guess the next major thing that takes up a lot of my time would be the ADI NGC, which I joined a couple of years before COVID. A couple of good friends of mine, Andrew Love and Ed Marshall from up in York,
right.
They invited me onto the governing committee of the ADI NGC, and I really enjoy that. I'm the head of engagement at the moment for the ADI NGC. So I'm heavily involved in their meetings and their conferences, especially the national conferences, which they run with Intelligent Instructor. I actually host the PDI Zone. I was doing that with Lou Walsh for a couple of years there, hosting the PDI Zone at the conventions. So I really enjoy my work that I do with them. And now, obviously, I'm turning my hand to a new venture in terms of launching a training company for driver instructors, for youth driving instructors.
Right, so a couple of things that rise with that. As the ADINJC, you obviously will know Sue Duncan very well.
Yes, I know Sue very well. Yeah, I saw her last weekend in Coventry.
Her down in Plymouth, I see her quite, well, I say regularly, but, you know, sadly she lost her partner earlier this year, and the lovely Jeff Fernley. So it's not been a great year for us losing sort of influential people.
No, it's very sad. And I should just say that one of my first big events at the ADINGC, I still didn't know very many people. And Jeff was assigned to me as my chaperone. And he looked after me very well, and he told me what to do. And it was just, I very much considered Jeff to be part of that whole package of why the NGC appealed to me so much.
Yeah.
He was just such a gentleman.
Yeah,
such a funny man, a funny, witty man.
Oh, golly, yeah. Obviously, there was a big learner relay. We always used to meet up. And the year that it didn't happen, four of us did a part of the Devon Heart that Lou arranged, and Jeff and Sue involved in that. We all had a lovely lunch at a rather dodgy services on the edge of Dartmoor, but we, you know, it's just the company, and
yes,
it's so sad that he's gone, because I always used to love meeting up with him and Sue and another friend, Angie Presland. But yeah, such is life, and death, unfortunately. Yeah, and what we're losing Lou as well. It's not been a great time.
It's not been great, no.
And just Caledonian, I just want to touch on one thing there, because I believe one of your instructors had a fairly high-profile pass a few weeks ago.
He did have a high-profile pass. We tried to keep that quiet, Kevin. I'm impressed that you managed to find it. Yes. that was a very interesting experience, a very positive experience from a marketing PR perspective.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yes.
But not without its challenges. Not without its challenges.
Oh, I'm sure. No. Yes. Yeah.
Andy's actually our franchise manager. His main job is training people to become driving instructors. He looks after all of our PDIs.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But he took on that job, and you know, he was having to liaise with undercover police, telling them, advising them the night before what routes he would be taking, what areas.
Oh, right. Yeah.
There were members of public stalking them in terms of, you know, video Nicola Sturgeon doing, you know, turns and three-point turns in car parks, being videoed. And then obviously when she passed, it was like a media frenzy. They wanted us on Good Morning Britain. The Daily Telegraph wanted to send a journalist from London for a driving lesson, just so they could run a story that said, I took a driving lesson with Nicola Sturgeon's driving instructor. It was just crazy, Kevin. It was crazy. So we politely declined to all of these.
Yeah.
And just in terms of, you know, we put out a press statement saying, you know, very grateful to Nicola Sturgeon. She did very well, all that kind of stuff. But in the interests of her privacy, we wouldn't be doing any interviews or anything like that.
Yes, that sort of thing, I imagine, would open up a can of worms, even if you did say, because you know, the world and his wife and press from here, there and everywhere, and life just, I imagine, would become intolerable, really.
Absolutely, absolutely. Do you know, we don't have a press office. We don't have a huge team.
No.
And Andy is a quiet guy. Andy's not the kind of guy who's you're going to see sitting on the sofa at Good Morning Britain.
Yeah.
It wasn't for us, all that kind of stuff.
Well done for getting her through first time as well, and for keeping the media frenzy out of the way.
Yeah, Andy deserves most of the credit. Well done.
Right, so let's move on to the main thing that I'm getting you on here today, and that is this new, I assume it's a fairly new initiative, of Bright Coaching.
Yes, so Bright Coaching, I actually came up with the idea for Bright Coaching a couple of years ago, 18 months to 2 years ago, and I wanted to write an accredited qualification for driving instructors. Much in the same vein as Tri Coaching Partnership did with the BTEC Level 4. That was the model. The idea was never to replace the BTEC Level 4, because at that time I did not know that tri-coaching was going to disappear. I very much wanted this to run in parallel with the BTEC 4 and appeal to the same market that qualification appealed
to. Right. That's one question. You also answered one of the questions I was going to ask.
It was never intended to be a replacement. And that's worked well for two reasons, because it means that I can legitimately go out and tell people that the course will be of use, even if you have done the BTEC level 4 already.
Right. Yeah.
And I can't be accused of, you know, taking advantage of a gap in the market, because that was never my original goal.
But
it was just to provide more of that same quality of CPD, that same kind of level of difficulty, quality of knowledge, academic evidence-based research, I guess, is the term you would use.
Yeah, sure.
Which is becoming quite a big thing in the world of driver behavior at the moment. If you look around some of the various kind of podcast channels and YouTube channels, and the academics that we have access to, I kind of feel that there are a lot of academics out there doing some phenomenal work. You know, Elizabeth Box is a very good example.
I've got her on my list to talk to you about as well, because I've got your Facebook post of the 24th of November, because I specifically want to link that in to the Honest Truth later on.
Yes, brilliant. So you're doing the same kind of things that I believe in, Kevin. What I was going to say was, and these academics have always been there. Lisa Dorn is probably the most famous, but academics who specialize in driver behavior and human factors and driver psychology are, it's almost as if driving instructors have never had a direct line to that research, because as driving instructors, we've always historically looked to the DVSA to feed us the knowledge that they're going to test us on. And obviously they don't test us on the stuff, on the latest research. So part one of my goals, along with many other fantastic people in the industry, like Ollie and like Liz Box, and it's not coordinated, but I kind of feel that what we're all working toward is cutting out the middleman, which is the DVSA, because the DVSA is not providing that function. So we're almost having to do that for ourselves and get into that research and dig around in it and find out and almost extract the skills from it that we can use to train driving instructors. That's what I see my role being for the next 10 years. That's what I'm really enjoying doing that at the moment through Bright Coaching. And it's quite exciting.
Yeah, good. Right, there's just two or three things there I want to dive into in a little while. But I'll just, for the moment, stick with the DVSA.
Yes.
Because as you say, that I get people saying to me, why doesn't the DVSA provide some training? Why don't they help us with this, that, and the other? And the DVSA tends to come back and say, well, we're not a training organisation, which, you know, I suppose it factually is correct. And then people say, well, where do we go to find out, get the help that we need? And it's really a case of, well, let's point them in the direction of the people who are providing the help, like yourself.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things there, Kevin. The DVSA is obviously factually correct when they say that, you know, we're not a training organisation. But it's kind of the pitch of that message or the tone of that message is just completely unhelpful, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely.
Now, depending what day of the week you get me on, will dictate what my attitude is to the DVSA. It's Friday, so I'm in a relatively good mood today.
I must have caught Bob Morton on a different day then, because he actually absolutely let rip when we did a podcast earlier this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to be like that today. It depends what's led up to it. I think what people have to realize is that the DVSA is not a training organization. It's not in their remit.
Yeah,
it's not what the Department of Transport sets as their key objectives at the start of the year and all that, or at its inception, I guess you could say. And what that means is, driving instructors who are looking to the DVSA and saying that kind of thing are just not getting it.
Yeah.
I'm not blaming them for that, because when they're met with the response that, which, you know, I'm paraphrasing, it's not our job, then that's obviously going to get people's backs up.
Yes.
It's not your job, then. Why are we jumping through hoops trying to meet the criteria that you've set in terms of standards checks, and you won't give us any training on the standards? So I get that. But there's no point. There's no point in shouting about the DVSA.
Yeah.
There's no point in getting angry about it, because that just doesn't help anyone. It's a little bit like my daughter coming home a couple of weeks ago and saying, you know, someone called her a name in class and she was crying. Mm-hmm. How do you deal with that as a parent? And quite often the best way to deal with that is, I'm not giving parenting advice because I'm still working that out myself. Mm. But I kind of find that the best kind of way, one good way to approach that could be, well, does it matter? Do you believe that you are what she called you? Well, no. Well, so it doesn't make any difference. So just ignore it. Just ignore it and move on. And let's control what we can control.
Yeah.
And that's very much been a message that's coming out from the ADI NGC over the past year, in relation to standards check, trigger points, and all this kind of stuff, which is obviously nonsense as well. But
yes,
like I say, I'm in a good mood today. I'm not going to.
I know from what you're just saying, that the experience of your daughter, I often, and I'm going to say it again now, people get fed up with listening to me saying this. What Chris Allsop, Diane Hall's partner, has said on the times I've been on their course, he said, what somebody else thinks about you is none of your business.
It's a wonderful way of putting it. It's a wonderful way of putting it, yeah. And actually, I would take that a step further or develop that thought. If you spend your time thinking what other people think of you, you tend to neglect what you think about yourself.
Yes. Yeah.
And it acts as a distraction to the main event, which is actually your life, and you are in control of your life. And I talked about this recently. I spoke at New York at the NGC Intelligent Instructor Convention. And one of the points on one of my slides was about, and this is just linking back to the DVSA, having the DVSA there is quite unhelpful in a lot of ways, because it gives driving instructors the opportunity to play the victim. It gives driving instructors at something external as a reason for them not developing in their job.
Yeah.
And it stops driving instructors looking inwards and thinking about where their gaps are in their own development. So unhelpful in a lot of ways.
Right. So the actual course that you've produced, it leads to what, a particular qualification?
It does, yes. It leads to a PDA, which is a Professional Development Award. And that is an SQA award.
SQA
is the Scottish
Qualifications Authority.
Correct. Yep. Our version of Ofqual.
I used to be a teacher, so I know what some of these acronyms are.
Fantastic. So you'll be able to vouch for the legitimacy of the award then. Fantastic. So it's a PDA, and we've pitched it at level 7. Level 7 on the framework in Scotland, which is the SEQF. We don't need to go into that. It's basically been pitched in such a way that it sits around the same level as a BTEC level 4 or level 5 professional award. So I didn't want to overshoot the level of the BTEC level 4, but I wanted it to be in line roughly with that. We're still tying up the final kind of loose ends with SQA about assessment criteria on that. Right. And it's very much tinkering around the edges, around the language that's used in the assignments, which I'm sure you can relate to. So we're doing that kind of thing. But SQA have been fantastic in terms of helping me, who has no real background in this kind of thing, no strong academic background to speak of. But they've been really good in helping me put my course together, format it in the manner that I wanted, and help me understand how to get the learning outcomes that I want for driving instructors, because I know the market, I know driving instructors. So it's been a really good experience. Was that the question? Sorry. The level.
Yes.
PDA level 7.
Yes, because I did the BTEC for best part of 10 years ago now, I think.
Yes.
With Graham and Sue, when they were still talking to each other.
Yes.
And how many units are there in the course?
So there are four modules, the same as the BTEC.
Right.
If you would have done your course in person, as I did. Very much the same, 3 months apart. So the first module of the first course starts in March 2024, and the final module is in December 2024, and candidates will be issued with assignments in between each module. Yeah. We also have an online e-learning platform, which the BTEC did not have.
No, that's true.
So there will be a substantial amount of pre-work before the course, and then just webinars and some webinar content prior to each module, so more specific content specific to that module that's coming up. So I'm pleased with how it's looking at the moment. I'll be more pleased when I get to the 3rd of March and it's fully looking the way that I want it to look.
And you've had a pretty good and pretty quick uptake for this first cohort as well, haven't you?
We've had a really good uptake. It's kind of coincided with some good publicity opportunities, I do have to say. So people like Terry Cook, Josh Holleran, Phil Cowley, they've all invited me onto the podcast, their podcasts, which has been great, as you have. So thank you again. So I've been able to talk about the product and the brand and what my ideas are and what my goals are. So hopefully that's getting a message out about me, because I fully appreciate that I'm not very well known south of the border. I do have a reasonable profile in Scotland, but England is a far larger base of driver instructors.
We also had I thought you were going to say England is a foreign country, but we're not. The SNP haven't voted us out yet.
And I'm on. I'm also fully conscious of not switching off any potential purchasers to any buyers to my course. I'm not going to talk politics at all, Kevin. Yeah. Not
going to... Sorry, I'd be editing that out anyway, so even if you did.
But no, the uptake has been tremendous. We capped the first course at 21, and it basically sold out in 7 days. Which was incredible. Far more interest than I ever imagined that there would be.
Yeah.
And I'm so grateful to these early adopters, many of whom are coming from England to do the qualification in Glasgow.
Well, that was another thing I was going to say, is that because these four sessions are all sort of in person in Glasgow, aren't they?
They are, yes. Yeah. They're just outside Glasgow. They're about 15, 20 minutes from the airport, just off the M8. Some really good commitment being shown by a lot of driving instructors. We've got instructors coming from the north of Scotland down to Glasgow to do it as well. So really positive, really encouraging. When you do anything, Kevin, when you put yourself out on a limb with a new business, or you know, you'll remember becoming a driving instructor, you just want people to believe in you.
Yeah.
You want people to trust you. You want people to respond to what you're trying to teach them, what you're trying, the messages that you're trying to get across. Driving instructors do that every day in car, several times a day. And I had that same feeling when I started putting the word out about my course and my brand. And it just makes you feel validated that you know, people are listening to what you're saying, and they're showing an interest in what we've put together. Really positive, really good, and exactly what I needed, to be honest, to push through the final few months.
Yes.
Because it's been a slog. It's been a lot of hard work. I've learned a lot. And I've had a lot of help along the way. Just to get through this final few months, the encouragement and the take-up has been phenomenal.
Yeah, I suppose the nerves will be there anyway when you go for that first session with you. And I take it you've got some co-presenters.
I do, yes. So I have a small training team all from within my driving school. who the majority of whom I've trained to become trainers.
Right.
So I trust them. You know, I'm loyal to them. And it's a great opportunity for them. I've facilitated before. I used to deliver the BTEC 4-4 tri coaching, so this is not new to me.
Oh, right.
And obviously I do a little bit of public speaking. But the training team, it's new to them. So I'm excited for them to be about them becoming well known trainers in their own right now.
Yes.
And I'm really keen to help them develop and move on to the next stage in their careers.
Yeah. Great. I just think of that Christy, my business partner down here, she and I are looking to, tentatively thinking about how we can branch out into helping more PDIs and ADIs with their part three and standards check stuff. And I'm sort of looking enviously at what Mick Knowles and Lee Jowett have moved into. And I'm thinking, well, I don't want to tread on their toes and do the same thing, but we're actually looking to do a lower level of support for that. But it's just taking that first step and hoping, as you say, people will come along and sort of validate you as people as much as anything else.
Exactly. That's it. It's about finding your audience. It's about finding finding your tribe, I guess.
Yes.
And Lee and Mick have done very, very well at finding a tribe. And I think they got a lot of that from tri coaching, because that's something tri coaching did very well. And creating that online presence and a safe space for kind of like-minded people.
Yeah.
So as a business owner, if you want to go into training and development, there are some great examples out there just now.
Yes.
Loads of people are doing some really good things.
Yes.
And I think that if I was, I know you're not asking for advice, but if you were asking for advice, I would just tell you to look around at what everyone does and just steal the little bits that you like.
Yes, yeah. I've Mick and Lee and us, we share the same social media manager. Alison, who Mick has this love-hate relationship with her when they're talking and she's saying something and he's not quite agreeing with it. He said, "Oh, I've got a tunnel here I'm going into," and switches his phone off. she's well used to that now. I just tells him what she thinks of him afterwards. But it is the fact that I think they've sort of taken up the mantle that sadly is the vacuum that's been left with Lou going. And it's great that there are people that are doing this sort of thing. And they came down to Exeter a while back. And even a Yorkshireman like Mick, as long as I provided at least 10 people, he gave me a free place on the course.
I'm still
recovering from the shock of a Yorkshireman doing that.
Yeah, I definitely wouldn't have done that.
Well, you're a Scot, aren't you? Come on. There are limits to things. Anyway, now, and one of these modules, Ollie says that it's actually going to be delivered by The Honest Truth.
Yes, so The Honest Truth will be an integral part of the module on behavioural change, because The Honest Truth is one of the, I don't know of any apps or interventions like The Honest Truth. I don't think. I think there is another one which was designed by Ian Edwards.
Yeah.
I wasn't able to find too much out about it. I think that's called Engage. I don't know if that's more for kind of corporate kind of stuff. There are a lot of these kind of interventions in the fleet world, because there is more money in the fleet world to purchase these things. I know that Lisa Dawn created one called the Flow. But in terms of tools which driving instructors can take into driving lessons, The Honest Truth is just a really great example. It's so simple. It looks professional. It's powerful, and it's just it just really appealed to me. And what I was looking for specifically was a tool which I could give my candidates on the qualification to take into their driving lessons and work with their learners on behavioural change stuff, and then use that experience as their assessment or a part of their assessment for the qualification. So they're going to have to come back and write something on that, basically, or collect evidence on what happened.
Yeah.
collect feedback from their learner drivers, and then write a short piece for Bright Coaching or the SQA, which kind of basically justifying or what they've learned and why this kind of stuff is important. And I spoke to Ollie. I've kind of known of Ollie for years because he used to speak at the ADI.
I've known him for all kind of, because I was a trustee of the Honest Truth when it was a charity.
Yes, I remember you saying that.
I've known Ollie for quite a long time now.
But I reached out to him this year to kind of introduce myself kind of formally and introduce Bright Coaching.
Yeah.
And he was just so positive about it and so encouraging and helpful. And he got on to James Evans. James Evans got involved. And funny, I was just emailing him just before I came on this podcast. We've arranged a catch-up call for next week.
Right.
And obviously The Honest Truth will get good publicity from it. And I'll be able to help them grow in Scotland on the back of it, which I'm more than happy to do because I think they struggle because Ollie's very far south. So I'm more than happy to do that.
But yes, he's even further south than me.
Were they really? Wow. He's in France.
No, he's sort of between Exeter and Plymouth, so he is still in this country. not like Ross Koenig from Total Drive, who's now living in Portugal.
Oh, wow, that's very nice. And obviously it's good for Bright Coaching. You know, I'm not going to stand here and claim I'm doing it purely for altruistic reasons. It's a huge commercial benefit to Bright Coaching for someone like Ollie and James. Yeah. To want to be affiliated with my brand. Again, it's that validation, isn't it? And it's credibility. And hopefully everyone benefits. Hopefully the driving instructor, the Honest Truth benefits, Bright Coaching benefits, the candidates will benefit. But most importantly, the learner drivers will benefit from the whole package, because that's what it's all about.
Yeah. So everything you've been saying in the last 5 minutes or so, it's frustrating me, and not because of what you're saying, but Ollie has come up with the Vision Zero are financing 50% of the monthly subscription for anyone in Devon and Cornwall.
Yes.
He said to me, well, you've got an association around. Well, we haven't got an association. We've got a Facebook group, because the attempts to get the association going have always fallen flat, because it's always going to be the same people and nothing ever happened. But we have a really supportive Facebook group here.
Yes.
And so I've put on there about this fantastic offer that the Vision Zero and the Honest Truth are doing. And sort of really building up the Honest Truth, because I thoroughly believe in it. There's 268 people in the Facebook group. How many of them do you think have responded to that?
So I know very, very few. It will be very.
Well, okay, I'll go even lower than that.
Okay. So you've had no responses?
Nothing. I don't know whether it's because it's me, and maybe some of them don't like me, but hopefully that's not the case. But I just wonder if you're pitching it in the wrong way, because they've not had a single spark of interest in it at all. I'm getting a bit ratty about it, because I feel I'm going to go back to Ollie in a couple of weeks' time, and it's going to be so embarrassing to tell him that nobody's interested in this. Or showing any interest, but anyway, I'm hoping somehow, if one or two people say yes, then a few more will follow, because it, as you say, it is such a fantastic resource. Whether you're using it as part of your qualification or just using it in car with your learners, you know, it's so up to date and it's so hard hitting, and it is all about these higher levels of the GDE matrix and behaviours and challenging behaviors and thoughts and beliefs.
I find it very interesting that we spend so much of our time talking about what we can do to change the behavior of young drivers once they pass the test, and trying to get that message out. And I've kind of figured out that if we want to be able to change the behavior of young drivers once they pass the driving test, we need to do something pretty major and fundamental prior to that.
Yes.
And that is, we need to change the behavior of driving instructors.
Yes.
They're both similar problems, because they're to do with beliefs and behavior, and motivations and capabilities and opportunities. I recently did a training course with Ian Edwards at Road Safety GB, and it was about behavioral change interventions. I did this as part of my preparations to writing my qualification. And one of the things it spoke about was, anytime, you know, a local authority, for example, is going to create a road safety intervention, they have to run it through a model to work out the target audience and to work out what messages will resonate best with that target audience. And I'm still thinking this through. I've not figured it out yet. But for my assignment, for my kind of certification with Road Safety GB, my intervention is on that. So I'm working on a piece of CPD that is, what intervention can I come up with which will encourage driving instructors to reflect on their behavior, i.e. not engaging in CPD, for example, or not taking advantage of a fantastic resource like The Honest Truth, despite all the obvious benefits. And how can we create a message which will resonate with them, and all the challenges that, like we spoke about at the start, the DVSA saying, you know, it's not our job.
Yeah.
Somebody somewhere has to create
an
intervention which will resonate with these different subsets of driving instructors, because it's not, you can't take every driving instructor in the country who doesn't do CPD, you can't take all of those people and say it's because of one reason. They all split into little subgroups with a group of reasons. So for some people, it'll just be a belief that free CPD is rubbish, and they don't want to spend any money on paid CPD. That's a belief that
needs
challenged. Yeah.
Yeah.
For other people, it will be motivation. So there'll be a huge group of driving instructors who are earning 40, 45, 50 pounds an hour. So where's the motivation to them to go and improve? Because they're not going to earn any more money. They're doing fine. They don't need to do anything. And then there'll be another subset of driving instructors who think, well, why should I do it? If the DVSA is not going to bother, why should I bother? You need separate messages across the board to target each subset of driving instructors. That's not an easy job. There's no one doing that at the moment. No one's doing it. Maybe bike coaching will do it.
Why not? There's a gap in the market, obviously. I've just got the Facebook post you've got for what Elizabeth Box says about young driver safety is as serious a public health concern as drug abuse or knife crime.
Yes.
Well, crikey, how hard hitting is that? You know, if that doesn't help prod some people into, hey, come on, what about using The Honest Truth as a possible vehicle for that?
Absolutely. And one of the great things, I mean, I think I quoted Liz Box on that. I can't remember the exact stats which give rise to that statement. But I'm a huge fan of the, I'm a huge supporter, sorry, of the kind of research that is coming into our industry, which is evidence-based. And the evidence comes from, for example, health outcomes.
Yeah.
So a lot of the behavioural change techniques which we discuss on our qualification and which academics are looking at is copied from the same kind of behavioural change techniques which are used to help people quit smoking, to lose weight, to give up alcohol, to give up drugs, all these to basically change your life.
Yeah.
And we know that the research shows categorically, for example, I'm just picking two at random here.
Yeah.
We know categorically that goal setting and forming action plans make it more likely that people will follow through with that behavioural change. And we know that because they've been researching it for years in weight loss clinics all over the world and rehab facilities all over the world. And now these techniques are available for us to use in road safety. We just haven't figured out the best way to do that yet. The Honest Truth is a good step.
Yeah.
And the way that Honest Truth has chosen to do it, one way they're doing it, is by matching the messenger to the audience. So that's the specific idea of having young people delivering that message.
Yeah.
Do you know, that is just a evidence-based behavioral change technique where you match the messenger to the audience.
Yeah.
And that's why we're seeing it in road safety now.
Another part of that is getting people to reflect on what they've done. You know, there's evidence that there are safer drivers, the better drivers, whatever phrase you want to use, are the ones who actually reflect on their actions and you know, trying to facilitate them to change their own actions rather than force them to.
Absolutely, and two interesting things for me about reflection. You have the opportunity, we all have the opportunity, to encourage learners to reflect after their lesson.
Yeah.
I do have to say I'm not a huge fan of that, because I think a lot of driving instructors get that mixed up with a recap.
Yes, yeah.
I'm more of a fan of giving them the materials or the opportunity to go away and reflect after the lesson at home when they don't have a driving instructor staying at
them. Yes, yeah.
So that's the way that we do it in our driving school, or encourage people anyway.
Yeah, we use Total Drive, and there's a reflective log there. And I say to them, you know, we're not going to do it now because you're going to put down what you think I want you to put down. They might still do that, but I say, go away and think about what you've done. And the ones who do it, you know, some of the messages that come back are, I wouldn't say revealing, but they're really much more honest.
I think they're fascinating, because you read things that otherwise you would not know. And everything is data. Everything, even if you don't do it, that is data that you can use to help coach that person further. And the second thing, just to finish that train of thought, Kevin, sorry, the second aspect about reflection links to something Liz Box wrote about in her recent paper. And you hear about this in all behavioural change models, is the importance of follow-up. And actually, Joe, we call it reflection.
Yeah.
But actually what we're doing is we're generating feedback for us. To find out if what we are doing is working. That's just another way of thinking about it.
Yeah.
And a big part of any behavioral change model is that kind of that post event, post intervention, reaching out to generate to gather feedback.
Yeah.
Which I really like, and very difficult to do, because people don't think of driving lessons and learning to drive in that way.
Yeah.
In this country, it's, you know, you go for your driving lessons, you pass your driving test, you never hear from your driving instructor again. I have this kind of weird, it's not weird, I have this vision for, not just, I was going to say for Bright Coaching, I have this vision for the industry where it becomes normal that 3 months after passing your driving test, you check in with your driving instructor, or your driving instructor checks in with you digitally. Questionnaire, some format like that, and you are able to reflect back on some goals that you set yourself at the start of your learning to drive career, in terms of what kind of driver you want to be.
Yeah.
And that vision that I have played a huge part in the qualification that I've written. I without sounding too grand about it, I don't know why I'm apologising. I want it to be grand.
No, pick it up. Come on, if you won't, I will.
I just think that we should change the way that driving lessons are delivered. We should just take the format that we have and just mess around with it and make it better.
Yeah.
And bring the DVSA with us. The DVSA can follow us.
Yeah.
The challenge is we still have to teach people to train the standards check and the marking sheets. And that we can still get those minimum standards, to borrow Chris Benstead's phrase. We can still get driving instructors to those minimum standards. But my vision is that driving instructors are going out, taking on a client on a long-term basis, and that process, that relationship, does not finish when they pass their test.
Mm.
It finishes after they pass their test, when they come back to us at some point, not come back to us physically, but some kind of conversation takes place a couple of months after the test, where we just have a reflection on what has happened since yeah. they got their license. That's my vision.
I'm just writing down. So I'm picking, like you said before, picking the bits out from what you hear or see from other people. I've just picked that bit out there. So I'm keeping in touch after 3 months and getting back to them. Yeah, it's, you know, I like that. Now, look, I know you've got the school run to go to, so I don't want to keep you too long now. But you've got this first cohort sorted. So the next course will run in 2025, I take it?
No, the next course will run from the summer of
2024. Oh, right, just a bit like the BTEC used to do with tri-coaching.
Not quite as frequent as that, but I do. I'm encouraged that there's enough demand. Through just my inbox, there is definitely enough demand for me to run a second course based in Glasgow next year. So we will be doing that. I just don't have the dates agreed yet with the venue and the trainers. And then in 2025, I don't know what we'll do. I'm not that far ahead in my logistics.
I was just trying to think of, if the first course is already full, and anybody who listens to this is interested in doing it. Obviously, I'll put the link to the website on in the notes of this, but so people are thinking, well, if they are interested, but it's not going to be that far ahead before I could be looking out to actually go on the course.
I appreciate that, Kevin. I mean, we are probably looking at June or July 2024.
Great.
For starting the next cohort.
It's aimed at all these people, however large or small the number is, who are actually actively interested in developing themselves. Which leads me on to just to finish that the fact that you are somebody who is very much still developing, because the name Lisa Dawn's come up, and you have been doing some qualification with her, I believe.
So I've known Lisa for many years. I did a 2-day course with Lisa Dawn and Dr. Mark Solomon about 10 years ago at Cranfield University.
All right.
That was really what opened my eyes to all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
In terms of driver psychology. I also know her through the ADI NGC. She's spoken at a couple of NGC events over the years, online and in person. And she's coming to Scotland next year for our very first ADI NGC Scotland course.
All right.
And a couple of months ago, Lisa Dawn has launched her own training company, primarily aimed at the fleet market, also local authorities, road safety officers. The course I went on had about 5 firemen on it. There's fire brigades across the country are heavily involved in creating road safety interventions, going to schools, etc. Delivering these kind of messages. So I did her new course, which is on human factors and the safe system. The safe system is kind of a government initiative which brings together all stakeholders in one model. I kind of think of it. I'd encourage your listeners to go and look up the safe system, because it's quite important to our industry. I kind of think of it as a replacement or an updating of the 3 E's: engineering, education, enforcement. I think it's a more robust version of that, and a more informative and a more ambitious version of that. And that's what Lisa Dawn's latest course is about. I would highly recommend any driving instructor who's looking to just get a little bit more knowledge in that area.
Right, brilliant. Well, I've just made a note of that, so I'll add that into the notes for this. Stuart, I'm so grateful to you. I've found this fascinating, and just listening, and the fact there's this new course coming up, and it's great that you've got so many people ready to do it. I know Mick Knowles put something on about his scaling course, that 4 people had done that this week, just another 38,000 to go. Well, that might be a bit ambitious to get 38,000 ADIs wanting to do CPD, but as Ollie says, from the honest truth, if we can make a difference to one person in road safety, then the honest truth is worth doing as far as he's concerned.
Absolutely. I think you touched on it earlier on there. I can't remember exactly what you said, but the qualification that we've written at Bright Coaching, you know, I don't expect 40,000 drivers to Glasgow next year. The qualification is not for everyone. The qualification is for people who want to do CPD and who want to spend money on CPD. But much in the similar way that Ollie says, if we can just, as the section of the industry who we represent, if we can just grow that section of the industry by 1% every year, and more importantly, if we can focus on the new people who are coming into the industry and get the message across to them that this is the normal way of doing things, i.e. you've qualified, now you go and do some CPD, then in 10 years' time, this industry could be in a completely different place.
Oh, yes.
And road safety could be in a completely different place as well.
Yeah. Well, on that note, I think that's a hopeful note. We'll finish there. And thank you so much. I would definitely look you out at a conference at some time in the not too distant future, and we can have a proper chat in person.
Sounds good, Kevin. Thank you very much again for inviting me on. I really, really appreciate it.
Great. Thank you ever so much. Well, I'd really like to thank Stuart for that really interesting episode. And hearing about his philosophy and the way he approaches driver training and trying to get people to be sort of provoked to looking at the higher elements of the GDE matrix and challenging behaviours. And the Bright Coaching course sounds really interesting. So hopefully if you're something that sparked your interest there, you'll have a look at that and maybe sign up for the next cohort next year. That's really great of Stuart to have given up his time today. If you've enjoyed that episode, please go and put a like on our website, and hopefully you'll listen in next time when I shall have Lee Jowett from Knowledgeable Instructor Training, or should I say Knowledgeably Instructor Training, with me in about a week or so's time. Thank you very much for listening today.